On today's issue of Homo Superior.
Picture. That, oh, it's a different picture. I want it.
And it's hair today, head condom tomorrow.
Well, Brent is gay, and Kaylin's gay, and Clark is gay, and Ryan's gay, and Adam's gay. It's Homo Superior. Welcome to Homo Superior, which is not just a House of X. It's a home. Oh, Superior. Issue 321. I'm Kaylin.
Clark.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Adam.
This week, X-Menswear marches on to its second week of voting. Speaking of fashion, we get to toot and boot some of the looks from X-Men the Animated Series. Apocalypse decides that the only way to replace him on Earth is through a Survivor-esque reality show. Plus, we've got the issues including the debut of Ultimate X-Men. And as always, we've got those plugs you love putting up your butts. But first, we got some housekeeping. Adam?
That's right. We've got a extra creator crush out now with Demanda Martini and Dax exclamation point. Ryan and I talked cons, cosplay, and more with them as a lead into this awesome con weekend in DC. Ryan, what did you learn about Demanda and Dax?
They won't shut the fuck up. I love them.
Well, yeah, what's that so like?
They're so fun.
They said the same thing about us, I think. If you'll be here in D.C., come see them and us at our second annual House of X this Saturday at Trade in Washington, D.C. I'll say D.C. 17 more times because people are always asking, where is Awesome Guy?
We're the first D.C. Comics-based Marvel X-Men Comics D.C.-based.
And then D.C. Podcast. Comics makes it even more confusing, doesn't it? Yeah.
We're teaming up with Geeks Out and the Uncanny Experience for cosplay contest giveaways, including tickets to this year's 10th anniversary of FlameCon. Very excited about that. Don't forget about our extra issue on the new Marvel Ultimate Universe. Brent, Kaylin, and Clark went into the background of this new line of books overseen by Jonathan Hickman, and it's timely because we're reviewing Ultimate X-Men literally on this podcast.
What? No one told me. I told everyone. Great. So, Mutant Madness, just as a quick reminder, last year was She's Got the Look. This year it's
What's the theme now?
X-Men's wear.
Wow.
What you're wearing right now,
oh
Ryan,
God.
X-Men's wear. Yep, Mutant Madness is here. We're in its second week. You can vote for your favorite looks for Cyclops, Bishop, Wolverine, and Angel via Twitter. That's Homer Superior X for Twitter. And or Instagram, Homer Superior Podcast. And we encourage multiple voting. There is no...
That was such a point of contention last week.
Yeah.
I'm glad Adam and I are here to clear it up.
Use ChatGPT to create multiple email accounts and just vote.
Love that. Go nuts with you bots. All right, so last week we mentioned that Krakoa Cyclops beat out Honeymoon Cyclops in a rout, and Red Bishop won against Ultimate Bishop very, very, very easily, and both of those looks advanced to round two. So over the last week, here's the looks that help that advanced to round two.
Here are the looks.
Yeah. So
can't let it die.
I love it. Wolverine, his brown and tan, his Days of Future Past look, his Weapon X look, and his all new, all different look. Some people call it his tiger look because it's the blue and the yellow. It's like basically from the debut of from Giant Size X-Men number one.
Yeah.
For Angel, the looks that advanced are Archangel, his Age of Apocalypse look, his X-Force look, and his revived look where he looks kind of angelic. Like
I'm surprised at the Age of Apocalypse look. Go Age of Apocalypse, even though I didn't vote for it.
I kind of love it. I think it's the best of the Age of Apocalypse looks.
That's not saying much.
What? It's not.
Wait, who voted for what with Age of Apocalypse versus the fire winged one?
You mean amongst us?
I voted for Age of Apocalypse.
I did as well.
Girl. I was fire. I think Brandon
and
I were
all
fire.
All three of you were fire.
I like fire. I think.
And then who did Instagram pick?
Instagram picked...
Instagram
Age of Apocalypse.
Picked Age of Apocalypse. And then
Twitter picked Age of Apocalypse.
All right.
Yeah.
Some yeah. pockheads in
well,
the
it's,
house.
It,
yeah.
I think it was the MC Hammer pants that really fucking
yeah.
ruined my journey
I guess,
on that.
And also that look is sort of back, right?
Yeah. Gen Z. Have you seen it?
That's
exactly.
True.
I
saw
like
some
the 20-year-old
wearing that fucking outfit on the street on Saturday.
That's your boyfriend. You be nice to him. So for Cyclops, the looks that advanced, it's his X-Factor 2.0 look, his Astonishing X-Men look, and the Revolution look on top of the Krakoa look that I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And for Bishop, it's his last X-Man look, his Uncanny X-Men look, and his second Hellfire Gala look on top of the Red Bishop look that advanced. So as we're recording right now, all of you are out there voting on Cyclops, whether it's Utopia Cyclops versus Teen Cyclops.
Boo.
Boo for both of them? Or
Yeah, probably.
Okay, all right. You're voting on committed. I get it. And then for Bishop, you're voting between his Shi'ar look and his second extreme look. It's wild that he had two extreme looks. It's wild to me.
Well, the last one was only in 5 issues.
It counts.
And okay, so this is what I had to do in order to make the picture functional. So in the actual comic, there's some woman form of like Elias Bogan who's like blocking half of his body. Mm-hmm. So I had to like cut and paste and horizontally flip the other side of him in order to make it a full picture of the costume, because is no other picture of that costume. And then I realized that UncannyXmen.net, where we got the original image from before I screenshotted Unlimited, also had to do that. They just I was like, where did they find this picture? And I kept looking for it until I realized after
it.
I did all the work that
they had
like
already done it that way.
Well, they had like 300 by whatever, and mine was like 1,000.
Yeah.
So mine actually
looks
good.
It's
going
to be hard when we have to do Elias Bogan and you have to do the opposite and just.
Oh, that's
just
next year's
Mutant
Madness. Yeah. So any surprises thus far of any looks that have advanced?
Fucking Age of Apocalypse.
I mean, I kind of saw these coming, but. As I was looking at them more, there's the revived Angel and then there's the Champions Angel.
Yeah. You thought Champions was going to win because of
the Champions Angel has a sort of intrigue to
that
it.
That thing is disgusting.
I love it because it's the only one I kept the words for all of his, because he's just screaming, I'm rich,
I'm
rich.
I'm
as
rich,
he, fi- as he finds
rich.
Out his parents are dead, he screams, I'm rich, I'm rich.
This bitch looks like a goddamn condiment or multiple. It's
he
just
does.
Ketchup,
he's
mustard, Brent's and
next
mayo.
Door,
it's
neighbor
Big
house.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's the Ronald McDonald as a superhero.
What I'm saying is, should I do this outfit?
you're already
horrible.
In this outfit.
I love how messed up it is. It's why up as a bonus.
It's pretty cool. I think the rest kind of made sense. I think we have an important round that we should probably talk about within these are two pictures that went up against each other that were furry. We have like the Weapon X,
open body, upper chest hair, Wolverine.
And the new X-Men, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the new X-Men ones look like they're going to get demolished.
I know.
Wait, Kalen, you're
well, Bishop doesn't
hey,
have
how
one.
Are you, how are you doing? Speak your truth
so
about new X-Men.
I will say this. Okay, so for the Wolverine looks that were up against each other, Weapon X one up against new X-Men Wolverine.
Hot. Both sexy.
I voted for Weapon X one because I think that is such a interesting look, especially as Barry Windsor Smith drew him.
Yeah.
The one I am upset about is new X-Men Cyclops losing to Astonishing X-Men Cyclops. The reason why is I think there's a lot of Cyclops looks that are like the body suits, because you got Utopia Cyclops, you got
very
Revolution
similar.
Cyclops, you know, even Krakoa Cyclops, and we don't have as many of Cyclops without the head condom.
That's I might have actually I think in my heart of hearts I probably did like the Astonishing more or like the regular look more.
Yeah,
Sorry, the new X-Men look because. Yeah. But I'm so biased to know how much you enjoy them that I was like, I'm just going to vote against them every time.
You petty ass bitch.
But at the end of the day, it is just a jacket, right? Isn't it just a big puffy jacket?
But I agree
it's a beautiful jacket.
I agree with Kalen, though. I do like, because even his 92 costume has the, as long as his hair's springing out, I don't like the full.
You don't like
head
the full,
sock.
Yeah.
That's an interesting. That is interesting because I like different versions of he's got a great head of hair.
Yeah,
so I'd love seeing that. But there are outfits where he is fully the head is covered.
Yeah,
that I like those a lot too.
As a bald person, I say let that hair fly.
Yeah,
I mean, that's unfair.
This was my fourth favorite. It was my favorite of the body condom looks.
The Astonishing one.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other ones I don't like as much.
So it's going to be weird voting later. Like condom or no condom. We'll just put that in it.
Can we just start calling them Cyclops Raw and Cyclops Protected?
What, one that I think I'm so mad that anyone voted for it. I think two people voted for it here is the fucking Mutant X.
Oh, I voted
for
him.
No,
for
guys. This
How
looks
dare
so,
you?
No, it looks so stupid. It looks like Michael Myers in a skin suit.
He looks
suit.
Like a bad
it's
gargoyle.
Hilarious.
Like
it's
an enemy
terrible.
From Gargoyles.
And he went up against, what, X-Force?
X-Force.
Yeah.
Yeah, was going to win. Yeah.
X-Force 1 was going to win.
I didn't care about not voting for it.
That X-Force is hot.
It is. The reason why, again, X-Force, Dark Angel, and Archangel all look so similar. There's a lot of similarities. I wanted some variety and some diversity in the.
Fair.
Why aren't you
fair.
Against diversity, equity, and inclusion, Ryan? That's what I want to know.
Think it's that. I just want him to spray those arrows in my face.
Fair enough. Ask and answer. How about y'all? Is there any looks that you really wished like got like made it past
Age of Apocalypse Wolverine. I actually think that's one of the best looking ones, and I'm very disappointed it didn't make it. I mean, I know obviously against all new, all different, it was gonna lose, but I'm like, come on, people, it's a much cuter look.
Because he's got only one hand.
Yeah, he's like grizzled. It's more metal. It's like, I don't know. It just looks as I enjoy it. I was disappointed to see where that went.
So, this is for Adam and Ryan. You,
thank you.
When you originally ranked the looks, you've switched a lot. You know what you have.
Well, because they weren't up against each other, right? They were seated.
They were seated, but you chose them.
But
now they're fighting.
Your X-Factor 2 versus Ultimate, you chose differently.
And I think it's a simple
answer. New X-Men versus Astonishing, different. What else? Oh, Adam. Oh, yeah. Hunting Hope versus Last X-Men are different.
I think it just shows that Ryan and I are living in the future, and y'all are living.
I think it's just that
also fashion changes, right? That you got to go with.
I mean, I did choose different pictures, so that's probably part of it. I mean, a lot of it. But
it could be hair today.
The fact that you two are just like
angles.
Picture that. Angles. Oh, it's a different picture. I want it. And
it's hair today, head condom tomorrow.
I switched
that's what
one,
they say.
And Brent and Kaylin switched none.
I'm probably going to switch some a little bit later on, but. So, which of the four do you think is going to go all the way?
Of the four, what?
Cyclops, Wolverine, Bishop, and Angel.
This is tough.
I could not tell you.
Yeah, make a prediction. Just
based on our voters not loving Wolverine as much as the general public, I don't think he's going to win.
Yeah.
Oh,
which means it's Cyclops versus Bishop, and then that means that
I think Archangel
would win against Wolverine?
You think Bishop? Oh, because it's on the sides.
When they get to the Couture Four, so it's going to be between Cyclops and Bishop and Wolverine and Angel. So Cyclops, I think, beats Bishop.
Yeah.
So it's Cyclops. Yeah. Which Cyclops outfit is iconic enough to beat Archangel's? I mean, Cyclops has a lot of ones that are so similar that it's going to be hard to choose.
So
I don't know.
I think that ultimately it's going to be the X-Men Blue.
One?
No,
X-Men
Blue Cyclops will win out because of nostalgia, or it'll be one of the body condom ones.
I mean, it's literally happening as X-Men 97 is going on, so it's definitely,
it's
currently happening right now. Vote!
But I will say, I really thought when we did this last year with the ladies, that Storm was going to win, but I thought it was going to be her 90s look that was going to win, and it wasn't. It was the Russell Dowderman designed X-Men Red Storm.
Well, on the plus side, too, most of their future outfits, like Hellfire looks, like Cyclops' Hellfire looks are ugly. So, there's
she
less of an opportunity
to,
for
like,
that.
Contact Jumbo early enough because he's like, I can only make you a jacket.
Yeah.
And he, like, never wore a shirt.
So what was Storm versus Jean on one side, or was it Storm versus Kitty, and then Jean versus
Rogue. Storm versus
that's
Jean,
lost to the time
and then
stream.
We'll
never know.
And then it was
Kitty
versus
Rogue.
Rogue.
Okay, all right, because I knew one side was so heavily going to win no matter what.
Yeah,
Rogue and Kitty had no chance of being the winner.
Yeah,
we seeded the seeds.
All right, any other thoughts about Mutant Madness?
It's
X-Men's
really heating
work?
Up.
I'd
it's say.
Really heating
it's
up.
Really heating up.
No, there are some people on Twitter who are like, when I would pose like some of the Angel looks, it's like, well, what about these two looks? I was like, baby, be patient. It's coming. It's coming. I promise.
You got another 10 looks left.
Exactly. Yeah. So round one will run through about mid-March, and then it'll be round two through the rest of the month. And then that's when it gets really heated with like the Sickening 16, the Elite 8, and the Couture 4. And then the final.
One of the Elite 8 is going to be Red Bishop versus Last X-Men Bishop. Who's going to win against that one? Fucking,
I love them.
That's what I was surprised most is Last X-Men, the comic that no one has ever read.
I liked it.
I read it.
Which,
if you look at X-Men Unlimited, they have 3 out of the 15 issues available.
Are you kidding? They don't have it.
Yeah. They'll eventually get it. But it was actually a pretty good series, considering it was not the best time to be a Marvel fan, that late 90s, early aughts era, before, like, Quesada and Jameis officially took over. So, all right. Mutant Madness continues on, and I hear a little noise.
Extra, extra. Go vote.
Go vote, indeed.
Thank you, little boy. I'll take a newspaper.
How many deaths do you think of newsboys happened? Like, it's like 6 in the morning when they're running around. Do they get hit a lot?
I mean, there's an epidemic of, like, deaths of newsboys.
Did you have kids in, like, your elementary school, into junior high school and stuff who were
delivered
paid
papers?
To deliver at, like, 5 a.m.?
No.
No.
There was
so it wasn't part of the school job.
No.
No, they just
we had paper people, I guess. Like they just kind of drove around.
We had a lot of kids who would like wake up at 5 in the morning, drive around and drop shit off and then go to school.
Jesus Christ.
What Smallville motherfucking place did you live in?
A town of like 100,000 people.
Pleasantville.
Which is inches away from D.C.
I will say when we moved here from the United States, my dad did that before they opened their business. So he would wake up at like 4 in the morning and go deliver newspapers.
He's an adult, though.
I understand. He did it in his car, not his bike.
It's not No, these kids would get in their parents back in their parents' car and just kind of like throw stuff out. They would be in the trunk. Just throw stuff out the back.
I delivered illegal GlaxoSmithKline coupons into people's mailboxes.
What do you mean?
I literally just I was like a pharma
You were
rep.
A farm rep?
Like a
at 12?
Like a college rep. But so we were so lazy because we didn't want to run events at like CVS and shit. So we took all the coupons and just drove around the neighborhood and put them into people's mailboxes.
Perfect.
Which is actually against the law.
Yes. It's a federal offense that you've
Oh my God, no!
That it's you admitted
so,
to on pod.
Speaking of delivering
the
news.
So in X Comics, we finally have something to look forward to after Krakoa ends, and that is The Heir of Apocalypse, which is a 4-issue miniseries by Steve Fox, and the artist is Neto Diaz, who was artist for Legion of X 7-9, and which looked very good, as well as non-X books including Thunderbolts, Predator, and Daredevil Black in the last 3 years. Quickly get into characters. There are 12 characters who might become the heir of Apocalypse. We know that he is reinvigorated and staying in Araka, which is good.
Good
it actually
him.
Says that because that means Araka is going to stick around at the end of this thing. Hooray, something's going to stick around. And he needs a replacement on Earth. The 12 possible ones are Armageddon Girl, who used to be Nature Girl, Cable, Cypher, Emma Frost, Exodus, Forge, Gorgon, Mirage, Mr. Sinister, Penance, Richter, and Wolverine, Laura Virgin.
All right, Mary, fuck, kill, choose 4 of each and 3.
So
well, definitely the guy.
Exodus, Richter, and Mr. Sinister have been like his seconds multiple times.
Yes.
And then Cable's always been against him. So those are the 4 that are, like, super tied in. The other ones are
You don't think Armageddon Girl's going to magically take
him? Nature Girl actually could win.
I don't want her to win because I hate her character now.
Yeah.
They really shat the bed with her.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, let's talk about this like it's Drag Race. Who are the filler queens? Definitely Armageddon Girl.
I don't think she's a filler queen. I think she's
no,
Megafarm because...
All right. Emma Frost is a filler queen.
Yeah, I think Emma Frost is an early out, and it's shocking because she's coming back next season for the next Heir of Apocalypse.
All-stars. Hair all-stars, yeah.
Mirage, I don't think.
Mirage is...
Forge, I
love
think.
Mirage, but no.
Laura Wolverine.
Laura Wolverine was only there for people to read it.
It's quite a big swing to just put Mr. Sinister in there and be like, well, he's going to be around, so don't worry about it.
After this, though, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like,
it's kind of a big reveal, I feel like.
Because I'm hoping... That would be an interesting part to me where like he becomes more of this presence but doesn't really get in... Like, he finds his way to that. And it's like, great... We can stasis you now as a character until we need to pick up the who's the Earth's Apocalypse to do something with that.
Pennant is gonna win Miss Congeniality.
I would think she wouldn't get there, but the fact that Gail Simone really wants to write her now, I don't know if Steve Fox ends sticking around in the comics, maybe he'll use her. If not, then that's an interesting character for her to have a reason to use Pennant more. But I have no idea. I think Cable's going to be high up there.
Yeah. I think Cable's definitely
high up there. I think Armageddon Girl's going to be high up there.
The Cypher of it all, I think it's really been
That's
Cypher for
one.
So long that like he's leveled up a lot. Also, Richter and Apocalypse are very close, and I feel like he's almost been training him to be his replacement.
Yeah, that's why he's going to be going out the first round.
I don't think he's sexually.
It's like the House of Apocalypse. No,
what about
sorry,
Gorgon?
Baby.
I actually think Gorgon can also be an interesting fit. Again, depending on what they want to do with this narrative.
Yeah.
Like, I think in terms of a competition, Gorgon seems like a perfect fit for this.
Gorgon. Is it Gorgon? Gorgon.
Gorgonza.
Anyway,
Gorgonza.
I love a Gorgon salad. But he wins, and then he's like, and I'd like to proclaim my wife, Queen, The Rock. The Rock is going to
win. Oh, that's right.
He's fucking those
rocks.
Yes. Yeah, he hasn't done very much after Ten of Swords, and he came back with a different personality.
Well,
so
cover 3 also shows, issue 3 cover
covers,
right,
which is crazy,
has him fighting Archangel, and I know you're not supposed to take
3
covers
is
at
Archangel,
face value.
2 is whatever they call Holocaust now.
Oh, Nemesis.
Yes, Nemesis. That's
so
right.
It's just so funny though that I'm like, okay, like is this it? I was actually talking to Patrick from Derby Comics, And we were he was saying how it's like, it's just going to be like Ten of Swords shit again. I'm like, honestly, the chaos I love. But even if it's just this giant battle, I also love
it. It's only four issues.
With Steve Fox writing it, I'm like, give me dumb fan service shit. Like, I'm in.
You hear that, Steve?
They really knew that crossover was like one of their most popular ones. So they just are trying to recreate that a little bit, which
I'm okay with. And it also reminds me a little bit of like the 12.
Yeah.
Remember that? There's 12 characters. Yeah. Yeah.
We don't speak about the 12.
The
only problem is the cast is going to get really big when they all have four horsemen for all 12 of them too. So they're like, now pick
48
but
of
wait,
these.
Is it like running for president that when they become the apocalypse, like the 11 get to be four of the horsemen?
Oh, like who's the Secretary of Agriculture
is
what you're asking.
Like,
yeah,
who created the cabinet.
Yeah.
All right, so another Marvel comic antagonist news. Thanos will return, quote-unquote, in September 2024, as if there's not a four-issue miniseries currently happening called Thanos, where he's up against the Illuminati, who, if you're reading it, spoilers for a hot second, well, you know that Emma Frost and Tony Stark are in it as part of the Illuminati, and they're married still, and they talk about that fact. Mm-hmm. Also, in the interim, the last three issues, the Illuminati worked with Death. Death wanted to have a physical form for some reason, and for some reason she wanted to move to Fresno. And now Thanos wants to sleep with her because he always does, and Death doesn't want it. So Thanos is mad, and then for some apparent reason, the Illuminati have to protect him. And I don't know what any of that shit means, but that is what's happening in that comic.
The only word I paid attention to in that was Fresno, because have y'all ever been to Fresno?
No, but a lot of people are moving there now, right?
Really? Because there's not a good reason.
Because there's a lot of... Okay, well, we can talk
Kayla,
about this
later.
Kayla,
why don't you say Fresno? Yes, okay?
Oh, yeah. Fresno, yes, and. Yeah.
Times used had like a... not a game, but like an article where you'd tell them like how you explained like a median or something. Like different words. How you would explain poor versus the poor. P-O-O-R, P-O... Anyways, and it would always... It would detect what language... what's the word I'm going for? Accent, you were from, where you were from based on all those things.
Yeah, whatever,
and mine was always Sacramento and Fresno, and then Arlington and Alexandria, which are...
Oh, because you could speak the language above.
Yeah, like those are the two accent locations that they thought I was
from.
How
funny.
I don't know what that
meant.
You
do have a Fresno accent.
I do. Fresno and Arlington.
Let's go blend in Fresno.
One is the exact opposite. And finally. Oh, so in news that'll never happen because Vinnie Jones says it won't. Vinnie Jones, known for the Guy Ritchie films where he played like a scummy asshole but was hilarious, and for one of my favorite cult classic medieval musical comedies called Gallivant.
I had no idea it was in that.
Where he played one of the villains, and Kylie Minogue was in it for an episode where she sang a song called Off With His Shirt. She was the queen of a gay bar.
Nice.
Medieval gay bar. Fantastic. Anyways, he got he was in X3 as Juggernaut. I'm the Juggernaut bitch, remember that?
Right.
He got the call to be in Juggernaut, as Juggernaut in Deadpool 3, but he turned it down because it was physically and mentally exhausting to be stuck in the costume for hours, being able to move and function, and he had to drink and eat through a straw the entire time.
That's crazy.
And was just going crazy.
I read another article that he said he wasn't going to get enough money
for it. Well, he purposely put his fee so high that they would have to turn him down for it.
Clickbait.
Yeah. He said it's such a drama putting it on, and despised working on the X3 because he was originally supposed to do Matthew Vaughn was going to be the director,
right.
And they're really good friends. Matthew Vaughn dropped out, and he's like, please, you haven't signed, have you? And he had already signed, and so he had to suffer through Brett Ratner, who fucked the role up and removed so much of the storyline. Anyways, and then he doesn't give a shit.
Well, good
Vinnie
on him.
Jones says no.
I love Vinnie
We're not
Jones.
Getting Juggernaut unless it's like that Faco kind that was a Deadpool 2.
I got so nervous.
Remember the one they shoved like a cord in someone's ass?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
I got so nervous from your write-up when you said violent yet humorous. And I was like, oh, no. Did he do something wrong in real life? And then I was glad to find out
he
did not.
All right. So in what's becoming a regular feature of mine, we have more Marvel Zombies casting news, casting-ish.
This is
and let's play the sound clip we prepared for this. Thank you. Okay.
Marvel Zombies, as we know, is the upcoming animated spinoff of Disney's What If series. In this one, Blade is going to be featuring as the new Fist of Khonshu. I guess Moon Knight has been presumably zombified, so we're getting that. That's another one of the heroes
cool.
we have.
As you do.
It's very interesting that Blade will be in an animated show before he's in a movie, theoretically.
I know. Kaori did that.
That's true.
She's not coming to live action.
But she was created in that thing.
Yeah.
Blade was not. Anyway, that's the news.
Woo!
Let's get on to MCU Next TV, our weekly segment focused on the latest and greatest of the MCU Disney Plus TV shows. That said, we're killing time until X-Men 97 releases on March 30th. So in the
20th.
So in the weeks leading up, we're looking back at the original 92 animated series to recap the best and worst things of the show with a game we're calling
Previously on X-Men.
Today, we're talking our top three best and bottom three fashions from the past five seasons. And you can't include the fashions you had in the 90s. Let's start with our top three. Who wants to share one of their top threes?
I would just like to throw out Rogue's look. I think it's one of the most identifiable, her classic actual fighting look, I guess, is what you call it.
Yeah.
That fighting look. Hey, you got a fight in that?
Yeah, I mean,
and she says, yes, sugar. I think the jacket and that look is just so iconically X-Men. I think that is probably overall one of
women wanted to be her. Gay men wanted to be her.
Yeah. And everyone gets punched in the process. Yeah.
I will say Wolverine when he's out of costume, when he's got that like jacket that's got the Amelia Earhart kind of look to it. It's got because I own that jacket.
One of the best looks.
The big, fluff. The fluff, the fleece.
I think it's just, I mean, because like Wolverine, his, I mean, even out of costume, it's the hair and the claws. It's basically what you need. Like, like Wolverine in a tank top or a wife beater. Like it's
before you leave the house, put one thing on is what we're trying to tell Wolverine.
You can take it off. Yeah. So I think that's just a very iconic look for him.
Agreed.
I did get very horny for a basketball Wolverine, so I am feeling the Wolverine.
Not Basketball Gambit?
That's what it was. My favorite one because I was like, I don't – Gambit's bodies look better. I don't love ponytails, particularly on men, so it was just never my fantasy. But, Clark, what did you love about it?
That video appears in what we'll see – at trade after
House of
after
X.
That clip will be there. I have fast forwarded and slowed it down a few times.
I've got to say, I didn't select it.
It'll be in the video. Not
I
just me.
That.
I'm not
slow down, fast and slow.
Uh-huh, it is.
I'm looking at the image of them. Jubilee's basketball outfit is also pretty sickening. She's serving very like 90s New York realness.
Oh yeah.
Oh, she's like one of the fly girls.
She looks like Alana from Broad City.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
Who else has got, what's another top you got?
Mine is when Morph became that weird actor. In the two, remember the honeymoon?
Oh my
line?
Gosh, you're
that.
Right.
And then just general when Morph has like the deadest of eyes.
No!
Like the love Morph. Morph's costumes are horrible.
That's,
great.
That's makeup and acting.
I know. Now he's just going to be normal and boring looking.
In the Christmas special, Storm, all my choices are Storm, by the way. She just wears this like.
Tiger fit? Print?
Yeah.
Green
and peach. And I'm like, what the fuck?
It looks
fuck
like
you
your
wearing?
Grandma's couch from 97.
But she is snatched in it. She looks so good.
No, she looks very hot. I had on my list, I assumed everyone's going to choose the Storm green and yellow, like diva walk around the mall look.
Okay.
So I actually chose the basically the Age of Apocalypse. Yeah, I knew that was
it's
so hot, so iconic. I chose this Storm's Age of Apocalypse mohawk look because I did compare to most of the other Age of Apocalypses in the real comics. I thought she looks fantastic. She's got a little headband. She's got her mohawk.
She looks great.
Fucking like a bunch of pouches.
Not to go back, but her shopping look, she's wearing more superhero stuff when she goes shopping.
She looks like an Avenger in that costume.
She looks like an Avenger. That's hot.
Am I okay?
Every drag queen has that necklace.
Yes,
too,
yes,
way,
exactly.
Right?
Cover the press plate.
I can't. I don't know if I'm doing this as a Mandela effect thing or not, but Magneto at one point in Asteroid M had this like beautiful white robe. It's definitely in the comics, and I can't remember if it was in an episode of the animated series or not.
Baby, you got to go back.
Semi right.
I think it's hot. I think you look so fucking hot in it.
I think you need to do research and we post
I'm
it.
Looking right now. Yeah, I swear to God.
Caitlin, put that Vaseline away.
My favorite look is Mr. Sinister when he has like that red scarf wrapped around his entire face and like the hat sideways.
So he
can hide from people even though he's bleached to fuck.
Oh my God.
That's my favorite
I
look.
I love disguises
so
that look more obvious.
You're clearly
hiding something.
I did stan Jumalee's Christmas sweater only because she's wearing shorts in December. Just like me. So that's where I got it from.
Yeah.
I got it from
you,
now. Jubilee.
Style icon, Jubilee.
Let's talk about the bottom three. What are some of your worst looks?
So many.
Jeans.
I think
nude
Grey's.
Look.
Nude
yes. suit. Horrible.
Yes.
What if I had a side nude illusion? You're like, what? What if I'm just naked on the sides?
What
no
if
reason?
My skin was one skin tone less
Ew.
Than my outfit?
It's oh so gross.
God. Revlon cool
no
versus
syndrome.
Warm.
I would say Jubilee, but it's isolated to her haircut.
Oh yeah, when she
in
oh,
season five,
yes.
it is the it's the haircut that
That's
like
tough.
It's hellacious. Sorry, Russell Dowderman, I know you love it,
bangs
but it
and
is
bobs,
not
go fuck
bangs
yourself.
Good.
And bobs.
Jubilee as like her weird elven self in that horrible
oh fairy tale
theater.
Theater. Awful.
I've got a bad storm go. One. I know it didn't seem like it would be possible and that I would be saying it, but fucking Storm's outfit in Stormfront as Archon's bride, disgusting.
Yeah. You know
it's
what?
Bad.
It's bad. We'll post all these. We'll try to find it.
We're not gonna
even
post
the
all
imaginary
these.
Ones that Kaylin's making up on the spot.
I swear to God, I thought he was in there.
No, but this Storm look is really interesting because it looks like everyone's aunt.
She looks like
at like a summer
she looks
festival.
Like a shitty NPC in Final Fantasy X.
Yeah. Oh. She says the same thing over and over again.
Amazing.
One I'd like to throw out is Bova or Bofa, as Brent likes to say.
Bofa.
She is wearing a basic ass Little Red Riding Hood coat, and that's it. Like, give
yeah.
her some outfit. Give
yeah.
her some. Give her some shape. Also, this would be great cosplay.
She wouldn't have to hide.
This would be great
she wouldn't have to hide if she fucking dressed nice.
Wait,
yeah,
Clark, you have the cow head. You
yeah,
can do
but
that.
It's not brown.
Can you spray paint it for me or not?
I don't know. No, I'm not spray painting it for you.
Okay, great.
I might have a controversial opinion.
Yes.
One of mine I don't like is Rogue's slutty shopping dress.
Wrong.
It's just way too antiquated in terms of design.
God,
it's got
they
like a
went
weird
shopping a lot.
Square neckline. It's got long sleeves and a short ass. Like it feels like it's in a time capsule.
Yeah.
And Storms is also shitty, but I thought Rogue's was worse because Storms is wearing like a little black dress with a red blazer over it. Like she's at work.
Yeah.
It's very anti-Lola.
Business casual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other big bottoms?
You put Anna Lee in there, and I kind of love it because it's just, I don't know, it's iconic.
It
just is.
But it's also like who
that's
she
that's her look, yeah.
That
yeah.
is who she is.
But that's also what Bova's look is.
No. But Bova can do better.
I'm pro Bova versus more pro Anna Lee. I mean, Anna Lee, she's got a fucking checkerboard underneath her tits. She's got like the world's ugliest
well,
neon
why don't
green.
We dress as them and then set up a kissing booth and see who gets more kisses? I think it's the only way.
You'll
to
see that at the second annual House of X at Trade.
That happened, but with Bova, it's a milking booth instead of a kissing booth. So they're gonna grab your teats.
Oh
yeah.
My
goodness!
I love that.
Yeah.
Why can't they both be milking booths?
Why can't they both be?
They both be milking. All right.
Well, yeah. Find out and tell us all the things you love, and we're talking next.
Yeah.
Week.
If you find any obscure looks, please post them. We would love to see them.
We
honestly.
Do have. We have a real good finale for next week, so you're gonna want to tune in. We're gonna be doing quotes. Your favorite quotes. So buckle
oh,
the fuck up.
So
bitch.
Many good ones.
It is going to be absolutely apeshit.
Yep.
Let's get on to the issues. Our weekly recap of all things X comics. As part of the Ultimate Universe restarting, our love of Hickman's visioning, and who knows what the fuck will happen post-Krakoa, so we're also picking up all things the new Ultimate Universe. Head over to the extra issue that Kaylin talked about in housekeeping from last week for a ramp up on all the titles, including miniseries, one-shots, and the new ongoings like Spider-Man, Black Panther, and Ultimates.
Adam, you talked about that in housekeeping, not me.
Oh, whatever. Well,
it's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, I love it.
I like to be reminded.
I just wanted to know what I did.
Well, I mean, ultimately, I learned either way.
That's true.
This week we do have X-Men number 32, Ms. Marvel, Mutant Menace number 1, X-Men Unlimited Infinity number 129, and starting our coverage of X-Men Ultimate X-Men number 1. Let's go X-Men number 32, Jerry Duggan, Phil Noto, as the fallout of various Fall of X titles heads towards their conclusion. Ilyana reunites with some old friends while trying to cure herself of the nanites originally contracted during the Hellfire Gala that ruined her mutant abilities. You guys, were you really worried about a refrigerated lighthouse keeper at the beginning of this issue?
I was like, where is he? Okay, we've seen some. That was so weird to start there, but I loved it.
What's weird, I just thought about this. This is now the second reference in as many weeks about that. Like that island mm-hmm. and about the Mykonese, Lightkeeper
yeah.
Mykonese, because last week when we were doing Resurrection of Magneto, they referenced that giant size X-Men where he got that key and he was buying the island, and that's where we got introduced to the Lightkeeper.
And it's Jumbo's boyfriend. Too.
Yeah. It's Jumbo's boyfriend. Girl, I Jumbo's know. Boyfriend.
And he said,
they're
girl.
Hot. I know that couple. Like, when you go to P-Town, you know that couple.
They're there for Bear Week and every other week.
Yeah, honestly.
What do you think is... He I has, like, them. A huge social following. So what do you
huge,
think?
Huge, giant, socialist? Bulging social following.
Thirst
like,
traps,
does he
yes.
just post photos of the lighthouse and his asshole? Does he do other things?
I think he's a nudist. I'll
You've
say
seen
it.
That movie with Robert Pattinson at the lighthouse, right?
Yes. It's good.
Just what happened?
Just a lot of masturbating in black and white.
Oh, I love that.
Lucky does come to the... He doesn't really have a name, right? He's just the lighthouse keeper. What's the name?
Yeah,
he
lighthouse
really
keeper.
Should,
yeah.
Should have said, where are my dragons?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So Lucky comes to the rescue, melts. Like, we're going to be talking about this a lot. Everyone is just fucking annihilating any Orcus member they come into contact with.
It is
with.
Just death, death, death.
So Crazy. We then teleport to Emma catching us up on everything you missed on Glee. I mean, the fall of X. We've got Polaris taking out Orcus's orbital operation. Iron Man's Sentinel Buster armor in Australia. Emma's got iron knuckles. She saves
Bling.
Yeah, it is Bling.
Well, it looked like Bling, but it had different powers, right?
Yeah but
I don't think it was Bling, though.
That's why I said it looked like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Was
just kind of nondescript.
That's what they always do.
Bling has an exclamation point at the end, so you have to scream it, just so you know.
It's like,
Bling!
Well, is she of the Bling people? Is maybe does she have sisters that are running around?
There's Blung, there's Blong, there's Blang.
I was just thinking of minor characters. Do you remember the 198 like one shot where
yeah,
they
of
the
course.
Do you remember when they explain there only the only histories we didn't know were Blings and Onyxes?
Uh-huh.
And Onyx is my favorite because it just talked about how much he peed all the time because he was scared.
and Bling, we learned that
her parents are rappers.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, right.
All right.
But the peeing one is more interesting.
Of course.
Magic is back. She still doesn't have her powers, but at least she's got a backbone. Magic can only teleport and kill humans, and she's all out of teleport. Yeah, you like it. Ryan loved that one. Are X-Men unleashed only because the Krakoa world is ending, or do you think there's a place in the future where this kind of level of kill status will show up?
I mean, I feel like the issue was X-Men number 25 right after the gala where you had Kate go nuts on the Orcas. It just basically was like, oh, she's doing it. She's the best of us. Let's go nuts. It is like a fucking shopping spree, but instead of shopping, they're killing people. So I guess it's a killing spree.
I don't mind it.
So X-Force's mission has always been sort of like, we don't care. We're going to have to
kill people
if we need to. So I was kind of thinking like all the people that went fucking buck wild on this like
Ooh.
They could actually form like the X-Force
like
team.
20 people.
Well,
yeah, girl,
I mean I love
a big
team.
I do love that
36
concept,
people are auditioning to be America's next Pac, you know what I mean? So like I don't understand why like they couldn't have a big X-Force team.
Because I don't like is that in the future, we may, to your point, we may get these characters again, and they'll be like, oh, my God, I could never do X-Force. Like, don't kill.
Yeah.
I'm like, you fucking killed, like, 30 fucking people. Just accept
well,
it, process
Magic
it,
would not
on.
Say that. Emma would not
well,
say that.
Well, that's why Ileana made sense to me. I was like, okay, who gives a shit? She's definitely going to fuck up people.
My bigger issue is not the morality of it all, is I love Phil Noto, but this art did not work in this issue to, like, convey like
the maturity
well series, convey yeah. yeah convey like just how like this is a pretty serious thing. I mean, if you thought about like Joshua Cassara or you know some of the other artists that have been drawing the X-Men books recently, like I mean Pepe Larraz I know has gotten too big now for the X-Men, which is ironic to think about, but could you imagine like how amazing it would look? It felt very pedestrian, didn't it?
It did make
it felt rushed a little bit
that too.
One thing a couple visuals that I thought did work were kind of the close-ups of Magic, and you could really see that
fucked.
She did look messed
she,
up.
He's
really
great
did.
With faces. He's great with faces and conversations and body language.
Yeah.
It's the action stuff that doesn't work.
I would give it, that makes sense.
Well, it's like the equivalent of like a PG-13 movie, too, because when she did kill a bunch of people, it was sort of like a zoomed-out panel with just blood on the window.
It looked like ketchup.
Yeah,
it did look like ketchup.
When Polaris showed up and ripped all the stuff out of her, I was like, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
It didn't look that
we had Ileana and Shadowcat reunite. There was a giant assault on the gulag to kill everybody. Polaris also showed up ripping off the ceiling. They had a threesome with the Sentinel. They also had trauma, healing, and processing. The ladies find Emma, and Emma's found Lockheed.
Yeah.
Let's kind of going back to that. Like,
It all fit.
Did you like the teamwork? I thought it was kind of fun to see
The things
together.
That happened were good. The writing is just poor.
It's rushing to the
so,
mass.
So I'm just looking at Polaris, of course, where the, she's like, sup? And then she says, dude, at some
crazy.
Point. And I'm like, none of these words would ever come out of the
It's a bit
mouth.
Much, yeah.
Sup and dude. Hey, dudes, all these dudes over here. No.
I did like the moment where she forgot Phylong's name, though. I think that was really funny. She's like, whatever his name was over,
yeah,
you know.
That sounds
relatable.
Like her. I also like she's there like, oh, she was like, I was too depressed to stay at the
It's is
at
this
the gala. I'm like, I hear you. I hear that.
It feels too, there is some Ghost element
everyone.
To it where it's like, it's almost too lighthearted for me. Like, I don't want it to be like edgelord type shit, but I'm like,
give it some gravitas.
You're it's literally trying to start your final battle. And
I think they were trying to, like, it was so dark for a little period, and they were like, now it's really ramping up to every, like, it's being more positive again, and it's trying, but it's coming too soon. Like, a couple times that we comment on a bunch of different things.
You were going to say, like, a couple that, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, that too, yes. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the big finale, and we already kind of figured this out from the fall of X, Cyclops and Ilya Gregor are teaming up to find Sentinel Island, or whatever it's called, Sentinel City.
It's a peninsula, but yeah. No, I mean, I appreciate that, again, like, that moment should have had more gravitas. It's like, you know, she's been, like, the bad guy from the very beginning, and it's like, oh, like, she realizes what the AI is doing, and so she's going to turn. It's like, not these moments aren't giving they're not we're not getting enough like
even
decompression.
Even the Orcus conversation between the scientist who made the nanites and magic, I was like, all the bits are there. It's just like we keep saying, I mean, not to keep repeating it, but the Game of Thrones syndrome of like, oops, we got to end this.
Before we move on to the next issue, I wanted to mention something really quickly. Maybe it's a Kalen corner. This week, Pepe Larraz released the cover for X-Men number 35. It is apparently the 700th issue of Uncanny X-Men. If you're doing the numbering, none of it makes sense. But we'll just go with it. So it is.
Ain't that enough?
It is the official end of the Krakoa era, as Marvel is announcing. It is a gorgeous cover. I will note that he got some criticism online, well deserved, that there were very, very, very few.
There are 4 out of 50 characters
a lot
of that are people
of
color. Yeah, like that it is. It is an incredibly white cover, and
Psylocke isn't even there.
Right,
incredibly important character, and then the last 4 years.
It is not. It's not indicative of like this past 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, apparently Pepe Larraz, when asked, said, oh, I just wanted to draw the X characters that I wanted to draw. And he, you know, he's like, yeah, I kind of fucked up. But it's just, as somebody as talented and seemingly nice as he is, he has an inherent biases as well. Yeah. It's just very, you know, important to point that out. So beautiful cover, but problematic.
I do appreciate beyond, you know, him kind of making right or rethinking some of this stuff, that Pogger Pog is one of his favorite X-Men.
Pogger Pog brew.
Well, I think if he took out Pogger Pog, you would have had a lot more space.
Big,
to
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, seriously.
Also, there's a Sentinel just walking by.
Yeah, right?
It's a pretty cover, but yes.
Deadpool's
just
on an entire plane. Like,
he's not even a mutant.
They have enough room for a full plane in there.
Yeah.
Let's get out with Ms. Marvel, Mutant Menace number 1, Sabir Pirzada and Iman Vellani with the artist Scott Godlewski. Following her 4-issue miniseries, which saw her stop a secret Orcus plot at Empire State University, Kamala is still attempting to live 2 lives, being branded a mutant menace and working through malfunctioning powers. Meanwhile, Nikita Gaia continues her journey. Anti-mutant bigots thinking they own New Jersey, just like New Jersey to have so much trash. We then learn, is it ACAB or Akambetgib? All cops are bad except this guy in panel. Because they really do a lot of like, hey, man, you saved my life. I don't know. I just didn't.
He's one of the good ones.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't feel. I mean, Ali's very hot. That cop is extremely hot. So good for him. Miss Marvel's hands get funky. Then we've got these neighboring assholes that have a lot of gay allegories to them. Kalen, are we all just clones living in an alien simulation?
I mean, I am.
Well, good. So then that means.
Yes.
Are we part of the simulation or we're also?
If there are no further questions, yes.
It's the Unity Squad and Wolverine is here. You got Rogue's old costume with no explanation. Orcus buys Mutant Watch, and then Deadpool's pansexuality comes out hardcore and him telling Wolverine that he has juicy tights. What did you think about this big up in the sewers.
I liked it a lot because it gave me that like kind of oh, these folks, they're found family, like that kind of vibe that like that should happen sometimes doesn't always get conveyed on page. So I think this issue is very fun. It was pretty delightful.
I like it. One of the things that they leaned in so much is her past. Like they didn't, there was 30 little info bubbles of like, you might remember from 2015,
yeah, right. Yeah.
2017,
really
2019. I love that her past and her supporting cast actually made it to this book. It wasn't
Agreed.
Just Kamala and the X-Men yeah. friends. You're like
she no. She had a history. She's got a past. Yeah.
And here's
I
my problem
it.
With that exact thing is that she oh. has so many great. That's true. She has such a great supporting cast, but it's 3,000 word bubbles in this. There are so many fucking conversations, and I'm like. It's great once you get past the first two issues of a Ms. Marvel series because then the characters can come in and out, weave around, do everything.
Oh, like
and
they're trying to
just
do too much exposition.
15 people telling about everything,
dense.
And there's like all four of the people who dressed as her, and I'm like, I don't need, give me one. Give me, I just, it's exhausting.
Take
it
one
was,
thing.
Was
I
dense.
Had to read this three times because I was like, I am bored of these words.
Well, I really like this series, so I just was like, well, of course.
I
like
the first one
them,
because
yeah.
the first one the first one we read before
the
it didn't have constant conversation with every single person she's ever known in her life.
Well, yes. I wonder if they got a note that like you needed to do more to like kind of give her background.
I mean, it's pretty much everybody. It's Bruno, Nakia, Michaela, Zoe, Gabe. She goes to do
her entire family.
Serve at the mosque. Right, the entire family. You know. Would you give up a friend, Clark? Like, if you were in interrogation, would you give any of us up?
What do you mean? Oh, I
no,
thought
he's the interrogator. What are you talking about?
Or we're probably the ones being interrogated about you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And then, Ryan, are you yay or nay athleisure wear?
I go, oh, don't ask.
They're
me
actually jompers. all right, so we do find that Natika is actually in Mumbai getting a costume made of Ms. Marvel's old costume. We do get a Red Dagger story reference. What do we think she's up to? What's going on here? She seems like she's been tracking her. What is this about?
I wonder if she's going to like pretend to be her to like give misdirection and basically say like, look, Kamala's doing all this bad stuff over in India.
Could
so,
be.
Yeah. I also did love that they were like, oh, she's not Indian, she's Pakistani. Like, they actually, like, referenced that.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
We do at the mosque where they're serving and supporting the community, we get the conversation of, but X-Men killed all those people. What I am having a hard time believing, and I know I'm sure you'll say, well, in real life this happens all the time, but are people this stupid in
yes.
the sense
yes.
that it's like, my one of the local hometown hero, like I there's an element to comics where I'm just like, how many times can these street level heroes like hide
yeah.
away and like be outcast? And, but I guess like everyone's just waiting for the other shoe to drop, right?
Well, there's that conversation where two random schmoes were talking about how like his one's daughter's favorite character is Ms. Marvel and the other one is Spider-Man, and he says lucky as if Spider-Man isn't hated most of the time in comics.
That's true.
And constantly derided by everybody.
Also that there's not more public opinion on the other side of it that don't just hate mutants generally. Like, everyone's like, yeah, we all hate, all of us can agree on that.
I mean,
right?
I guess
like,
that's
no.
very much true. Like, if we think about it from the lens of bigotry, if, like, a gay, I think of, like, a gay, well-known gay actor, like Neil Patrick Harris, if something went really, people already hate him anyway, but I would bet if something went wrong with him or, you know, did something creepy came out about it or whatever, people would just go, I always knew that Neil Patrick Harris was.
Are you spreading rumors right now?
Oh my God.
Don't ask me what Neil Patrick Harris does. I'll never tell.
I think it's
drag hair.
If you think about like one of our like the top issues right now, that's in this election year, is the border and immigration. I think most people you would say like, oh yes, immigrants are you know an important fabric of our life and like blah blah blah. That's
okay,
it.
Fruit of the Loom.
Yeah, yeah, sure. It's the Fruit of the Loom ad is what I'm saying.
The touch the feel of stop it, Kayla.
So rhetorically they believe that, but like then they're like, oh yeah, immigrants are changing the way that my like city looks
macro
and all that.
Macro versus micro.
Macro
yeah.
versus micro. And so that's why the border is becoming such a big issue. So like, yes, people are that stupid.
Yeah.
That's about like, and especially if there's anything that disrupts their everyday life and make things look a little bit different and a little alien, they're gonna be that way even if like a week ago or a day ago they were like, oh yeah. Oh, yay, mutants. Yay, superheroes. So
I just wanted my beliefs confirmed. Thank you.
So
you're welcome.
I was thinking, like, it's kind of like, I don't know if she's going from, let's just say someone's lesbian and people don't like that, but then she's lesbian and trans and some people are even more furious because now she's both things.
Right.
Now it's like
a whole thing. That's a very good point.
It's but just, some of her friends that were like supportive of her as a superhero are like, if she's a mutant, then I hate her. And you're like, that one doesn't match
the previous.
You know what I mean? Like that one's not like the other.
What happens when you get mind wiped, unknown mutant. It's Eyeball Plant Man, otherwise known as the Planter. He's stealing jewels, blaming insurance companies. he doesn't want to go to Krakoa. He's a man after Escapade's heart. Mm-hmm. Horticulture's here.
Love that.
I love to see them show up, and I love to see them go.
There's some sick grannies.
Knowing that we're going to do another Krakoa I Barely Know at some point, Andrew just finished the Empire mini.
Oh, yes.
Where they were obviously such a big part. We loved that fucking
that
shit
was a
show
good
of a mini
that
series.
Was a
yeah,
good
like,
mini series.
He fucking loved it too. So I really hope that they somehow continue to get carted out every now and again.
I think they will. They could be like the new Wrecking Crew, I feel.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a good call.
Just everyone stop calling them Golden Girls all the time.
Kamala's a major ageist too. She's like, don't you have to go fucking
eat
take
golden
the medicine,
girls. I was like,
bitch.
You're actually more clever than that too. Come right. on, come up with a better joke. Yeah.
They seem to think they know about Kamala's powers, but then before anything happens, Kamala gets teleported to none other than Lila Cheney.
I was very excited about that.
Very excited.
And it's gonna, we know it's going to tie into Mojoverse, so how does that
less
happen?
Excited about that.
Yeah, we saw that preview. What's going on with their powers? So it seems like one's going to get phased out and one is going to – it feels like one is going to have to go away,
yes.
right?
Yeah,
unfortunately.
It's called – what is it? Editorial intervention?
Yeah, or corporate synergy.
Yeah, just some purple crystal shit. That's what's going
to
happen.
It actually hadn't even occurred to me. Right before I read it, I was like, oh, that's right. She has both of the powers. It'll be fun to see how they do that. And I'm like, oh, no, you're right. And I'm like, oh, that's right. They're taking away
the
powers.
They kind of tease it at the end. The visual looks sort of like in Loki when it went, glitching thing. It sort of looked like that.
Well, and Horticulture just sort of said they knew what was going on, but, like, I don't. Mm. They're just four beautiful
women. Yeah, but my
grandma
says that, too. Like, she always says that.
Yeah. Let's get on to X-Men Unlimited Infinity number 128. It's our best writers, the Steve Fox and Steve Orlando, as well as artist Nick Roach. We get a flashback of what X-Corp has been up to since the night of the gala and a few more other things that happened. Surprise! So Roberto is bringing his new X-Corp team together in this flashback. We get elements of racism and bigotry in the business. Old straight white men can only be at the top unless someone from the underrepresented community gets corrupted by capitalism. That's real life, baby. Layla's also more than a mom in this flashback, which I enjoyed.
Thank God, yeah.
Yeah.
She seemed to
do
nothing.
That's got to exist in the X-Men, so good for representation like that. She's like, I'm tired.
Yeah. Back in the present time, we know Roberto is acting as the energy source for the floating ship. We get to see a bit of Betsy and Sunspot conversation. We kind of get a lot of exposition on catching up on the plan of what's been happening over the past couple of issues. But the most important element is Faint is here. And Gambit's also here because they're searching for Chandra. What do we think about? There wasn't like a whole lot of elements to stop on.
Nobody,
so that's just the summary.
Nobody died at the gala. There are so many characters.
I know.
They're like, oh my God, everyone was massacred. Except for every character you've ever met.
Well,
except for Jean Grey.
Except for the dead X-Men.
And Jean Grey and the dead X-Men, yeah.
I missed my Uber on the way to the gala to the Krakow. And you're like, Jesus Christ, everyone wasn't there? It's wild.
Yeah, quite the coincidence.
This one was very dense compared to previous ones that were just fighting.
Yes.
I agree.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Emma was probably furious that every known mutant just didn't come to the party that she threw.
She's mad. She's mad. That's
why
she got those
three
in a year.
That's why she's murdering all those people.
I mean, right, the three in a year. Everybody's like, girl,
stop.
You did one.
Yeah,
like,
you can't do that many now. But this is apparently a 20-part series, and we're in part, like, 7.
A story told in 20 parts.
Yeah. But what I love about it, I wish this was one of the actual published comics versus
100%.
Versus just Unlimited. I mean, I'm glad we're reading it, but there's a lot of readers out there that aren't. This is telling a very important story, and it's actually better than some of the X-Books.
It is outrageous to me how well-paced, how thoughtful. Obviously, everyone's crash-coursing to the end of Krakoa. Kudos to the Steves for literally telling realistically, the best captured true plotline. And I almost wonder if both of them were very interested in getting into the Unlimited game.
Yeah.
Because it's weekly, it's smaller chunks, it's the actual episodic stories we know and love versus these four-issue miniseries that barely get their characters across or develop them
right.
at all.
Yeah, with Duggan's X-Men are just kind of mostly sitting inside of the underground tunnels the entire time having conversations. These people are constantly doing shit all the time.
Right.
But they're stopping the ultimate evil.
They all sort of have the ultimate evil they're dealing with. Cable last week was sort of dealing with his own evil.
Yeah,
like
and that comic is just kind of it's often doing its own thing.
Doing its own thing.
I'm
happy with
is.
It, but it still has but nothing to do with anything.
This ragtag group, though, well done. Good
love
to see
it.
Them all.
It's also a ragtag
I
group of everybody.
Truly,
really
yeah.
Is
it's
building.
Been like 25 characters.
Shut
so far.
Would it kill that. You to show Trinary? I love her so much.
She's great.
Why don't they show her? Did they did they ever actually confirm why she could not possibly
kill
these Sentinels?
She's been busy keeping the floating whatever off the grid.
Oh, right. Yes, that's right. That's why she can't stop all the Sentinels. Yep. I like that.
Or talk to
anyone
that has a cell phone. She usually
she
does
doesn't have
that.
Time for that.
Okay. Yeah.
In the Ultimate Universe, Ultimate X-Men number one, writer and artist Peach Momoko, Ultimate X-Men kicks off with Hisako Ichiki, a.k.a. Armor, taking center stage and processing the trauma of past childhood events while activating her mutant powers. What do you all think about Armor as the POV character?
I like Armor as the POV, but I feel, unlike the debuts of Ultimate Spider-Man and Ultimate Black Panther, there wasn't enough in this issue. Like, I wanted more. I wanted more of the world being mm-hmm. built out. It felt very much like the first chapter in a manga. So I think when this is collected,
that's a great point.
I watched this anime. I don't
want
to read this comic.
Oh, I think that's why I enjoyed it.
It's
going to
be so
comfort food.
Slow.
It'll be slow. Like I
it's
like
take
it.
Take 17 issues to add a second character, and we don't even know what a third character is going to be.
I just hope she gets enough. What I'm concerned about is I don't know how long this will go, and hopefully it sells well because I think there's a story here. I enjoyed it. I don't know. I like her.
I also enjoyed it, and just because. The origins weren't just we obviously are gonna have like Peter Parker we've seen that story already
yeah
we have the American view of it. This is very Japanese and it feels that way, and I like to have the origins of like such a big group be somewhere else other than fucking New York. Like I just
it feels
right, but it is very slow. But
baby,
it's so pretty.
It's gorgeous.
It's very pretty.
Well, so I think the bigger, like, I think you're both right. It's very manga, but manga, particularly in like Shonen Jump and other types of things, comes out weekly. So I think I agree with you that I'm like, it's going to be real hard if this is the pace on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
But we also don't know how quickly it might spring into action after a couple of issues.
So this is changing Armor's origin, obviously, than like the normal one. It's Ultimate Universe. It's interesting to see. It seems like she gets her powers through almost like deaths that are around her rather than because it used to be her ancestors that she used to use her armor powers for. So it seems like it's almost like
a trauma response.
Yeah.
In this. Yeah.
That's what
it feels very different, which it's interesting take on it. And I love the thing at the end where it sort of like broke down all the different symbols.
That was cool.
That was really cool.
Well, like honestly, though, the worst thing to happen in that issue was that she got a button from a mystery boy, but that Japanese schoolgirl was an asshole. did anyone ever do a mean prank to you?
No one's given me a second button ever.
What do you mean?
Did anyone play a prank on you in school? I'm not talking about
an adult. Was this girl that used to trip me all the time, and they laughed and they laughed.
Everyone laughed, or she laughed.
Just her. Everyone else was like, "What are you doing?
Where was she tripping?"
But isn't it like,
I got bullied by girls growing up.
I was like, "Isn't it more like a fool me once?"
Maybe she was flirting with you.
Yeah,
she always did it in TV production.
Maybe
I don't know.
That's how
we're
you
married
know,
now.
That's how you
we're
know,
married.
Live for drama. We do. So obviously,
did
in terms
bullied?
Of the
Adam. No, wait.
No, Adam was the bully.
No, I did have actually a really...
But you were in that hip-hop dance club.
That was
did people love
that?
Oh, sorry.
No, I had a very sad, a semi-sad... Oh, no, it was actually really sad at the time. We were supposed to be going to, like, Wildwood, New Jersey, which is, like, where you go after your prom and all this sort of stuff. And I had... I still to this day don't know if it was, like, a reverse prank. Like, so basically, I got in... Well, no, because I got into someone else's, like, AIM account.
Okay.
And so,
how?
Like, it was my friend's AIM account. Like,
what do you mean you got into it?
Like, they just happened to be logged in.
Oh, I thought you
computer.
Hacked into this.
So
person.
Then I was like chatting with some of my other high school friends through that account. And I definitely like basically mentioned myself to be like, oh, yeah, I heard Adam's going to be there or something.
Oh, you bitch.
Totally,
what did they say?
Totally like, they were like, I can't remember the exact words. Like, it wasn't like so bad, but it was basically just like, oh, we don't really care. If Adam's there or not. And I got to tell you, it ruined my afternoon.
Oh, because nobody was talking about you?
No, it was just very, I was very sad. I'm a glass cannon. I think I'm the best until someone tells me I'm not, and then I crumble immediately. So it was like devastating to know or think that like some of my best friends were actually like, oh, we don't like, not that they don't like me even, that I just like, whatever. Like I'm an attachment to the friend circle.
Somebody put an orange in my bag and I didn't tell me. And when I got home, why does my bag kind of stink? And then I took out all like the papers and the books and everything. It's like orange was in there. That was how I got.
Do you not like orange?
How did it smell like so good? So I was gonna say
one
of the worst things that happened to one of my friends through friends is that one of my guy friends got pissed at the other one and did, because his car was filthy, the other guy put a fish in his back seat under all of the garbage.
I know, and that stayed there for a long time.
Long. Oh, it was everyone would be like, "What the fuck is going on with your car?" And like, clean the fucking car.
Clean the car, yeah.
I was just insane.
Clean your car. And that's the lesson, with Ultimate X-Men number one.
clean your car. Don't put oranges in bags.
If you don't clean your car, you're going to crash it into a giant armor monster.
What do y'all hope for this series?
I was never pranked.
Okay. You were the prankster.
Okay. No, because they knew what would happen.
What privilege.
what would happen? We would have to be interrogated about
Yeah, I know what you did last summer and Clark did it.
Outfits.
I think this series, what it's missing is, I would say, some other X-Men. So we need to see the X-Men show up a little bit sooner, have glimpses of it if she's watching the news, do something so we can know that something is happening.
That's very fair. It's going to sound insane, but I was like, this just feels like a Hisako mini, and I'm here for it. Like, I would just read this miniseries about this sort of story.
I love Hisako so
but
much.
But if we tell totally you, that's right, it is X-Men. It should be more X-Men.
If there was more than one series going on, then unlimited X-Men series.
You know
series?
What it is a little bit? So it feels a little bit like NYX. Remember that series?
Yeah.
Which is a mini that was... Initially, I don't think it was supposed to be in continuity, and then they were like, "Oh, we love her, so she's going to be in it." So I don't know. Well, I need to see more X-Men.
The other thing, like,
call me crazy.
The other thing is like, I don't know, like the speed at which Peach works, because she's so fucking talented, and I know she does miniseries, like she did the Demon Days stuff, and then she does a lot of covers. So this is going to be a monthly book, like. What is the schedule, y'all, for this? Like, that is, and like, what do you do when there's a fill in? Like, does she write it and somebody else draws it? Like, what's going
on? Especially with the world being built out so much from the other books. Correct. And those are dense ones. So it's going to be
interesting. We know what, like, Silver Samurai, Viper, and Sunfire will show. Which is like, I'm glad they set that up, because I'm like, oh, I want to see that whole situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Guys, anything else? As always, we like to wrap up with a little something called Plug Me Daddy, where each of us get a chance to quickly highlight something we've read, seen, heard, and wanted to share with you, our little baby homos.
No.
Blah, 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 blah.
Say quickly again.
Quickly! I gave that up because I started to annoy myself with it. I don't really...
I appreciate that. We all grow.
And Adele Dazeem doesn't even like reference it anymore. So, you know.
That's true. I can go. With you. So I saw Dune Part 2 this past weekend, and it lives up to the hype. It's very, very good.
It's really good.
And they did not shy away from the fact that Paul Atreides may not be a good guy. That's Timothée Chalamet's character, and I was really worried about that was going to happen, because the original David Lynch version in the 80s is basically it was like just another version of Star Wars. Yeah, like it was like the hero's journey, and it was very like white savior. There's the white savior stuff in this, but it's like that's not necessarily a good thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the Fremen, they're fanatics. That's not necessarily a good thing either. Like there's just a lot of shades of gray, and the big blockbuster. You know, the fact that they did that made me very happy.
But it was a cinematic experience, right?
It was great.
Visually
that's great.
Spellbinding. Yes. I mean,
I'm not spoiling anything other than the books are fucking crazy.
They are.
And after two, they just go totally nuts to the point where I don't know how they're going to film them. Or if anyone's going to actually like anything about what's happening. From
well, I Denis Villeneuve, the director, said he doesn't want to, if he does a third part, that'll be the last one. And he'll just finish out Paul's story.
Very smart.
Because he's like the most interested in Paul's story. Cause like, then it becomes about the kids and they're like descendants, and then it just loses.
It's fucked up, and it's 1,500,000 years in the future.
So there's a movie with James McAvoy called The Children of Dune.
Yeah.
What is that?
Oh yeah. That was a mini series in the early 2000s on sci-fi Sci-Fi Channel.
Right.
So Children of Dune is the third book, and that miniseries adapted the third book and the second book. So Dune Messiah is the second one. Children of Dune is the third one. So the Children of Dune are about Paul's kids.
Huh. Wow. That's so weird. I recently re-saw like a meme or something where I was like, oh my God, I can't.
We share a lot of things.
James McAvoy?
Us, yeah.
I didn't realize James McAvoy was in it.
Yeah.
I didn't remember
that
at all.
He's like the shirtless twink on the cover.
Oh.
That's what it really perked my ears up. I was like, maybe I should watch this old Dune I keep hearing about.
There you go.
I could go. I probably, this might have been talked about last week, but Shogun on FX
is very, very good. It's
very
really
strong.
Good.
Well, and I really, it locked in for me particularly, I think, this episode. In the third episode's release.
I haven't seen that third one yet.
Absolutely excellent. I won't spoil it, but it felt like very much like a season. It was crazy. Again, it's good Game of Thrones vibes because it's like that episode felt like a season finale, and it's only 3 of 10. So I'm just very excited to know what's going to happen next. It's moving much faster than I would have expected.
A cinematic experience, you would call it.
A feast for the eyes.
I finally watched it, and it's the story's fantastic. Everything's fantastic, except for the fact that it's hard for me to get past the English-Portuguese thing.
Are they all speaking English?
If it's supposed to be super realistic, you knocked a huge piece of super realism just in the toilet.
Not having Portuguese in
it? Yes, it makes absolutely no sense to me.
It was the one thing that 1889 did well, where they actually mixed
had
all the voices together.
It literally frustrates me and gives it knocks it down like
0.5%
of rating. It makes no
sense. We don't notice.
Oh, you're watching dub?
Well, so I think dub actually
works
on this show. Well,
what I want to watch is a Portuguese version of it. Like, literally, I want to watch the Portuguese.
Yeah.
People like the whatever language they end up to, like the Brazilian version, and they just dub the English into Portuguese.
Right,
they'll be like, "All right, there we go. That's what I need."
Well, so I will say the dub version is also very cool because not only do they do a great way of phasing you into it, it's not just like everyone's just speaking English. I think that most of the actors might have re-recorded their dialogue because it sounds very distinct. It doesn't sound like you're watching someone else speak someone else's words. But more importantly, in the areas where it is people just speaking Japanese, it does go back, or sorry, when there's a combination of, and that's what combination of I'm speaking English, they're speaking Japanese, they do go back to the intermixing. So you're only really seeing the Japanese to Japanese scenes mostly in English. So it's still a viable way to do it. I was doing it because I can't fucking, I would just fall, like, I'll never focus enough.
Subtitles make me pay attention. So
yeah, same here.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get off your phone because you have to do
it. Exactly, yeah, I'm going to invest.
But I'm glad you guys love it. Like, as soon as I saw it, it's like, it blew me away. Yeah.
I would like to plug, I was in New York last week, and I saw Oh Mary. This is Cola Scola's off-Broadway show.
Right.
It is so phenomenal. He is Mary Todd Lincoln. And does an amazing job. It literally walks in, is the most captivating character ever. It's so good. The entire cast is just...
what's going on?
He plays every role. No, Conrad Riccamora, who was in...
Murder, How to Get Away with Murder,
How to Get Away with Murder. He was in... He was in Fire Island as like the nerdy one that read books.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you imagine? but it just such a phenomenal show. It's so good. The ending is amazing. It's literally some of the best fun I've had off Broadway in forever. Yeah, it was really good. Yeah. Clark, what you got?
Mine is okay. So I talked a couple years ago about Love Island and Ekansu and being my favorite.
Lord!
You fast forward until the last couple month, and of course she's a traitor, being a complete lunatic.
Yes.
And now she's on Celebrity Big Brother in the UK.
No kidding.
And she is fucking crazy. So you know how Kate Middleton has gone missing, or whatever is going on that. So Kate Middleton
hasn't been seen.
Kate Middleton's psychotic, BBL. Abusive uncle is on the show. He's a piece of shit.
Oh,
but anyways,
God.
So she's like, let me ask you a question. Where is Kate?
Oh my God.
She just goes
That's
up to him and
asks.
She's fantastic.
Oh my
so
God.
I'll talk about her for a million years.
Love it.
Oh Lord, yes, Ekansu. Yeah, yep. Good job.
Well, that's been our episode. Don't forget to come out to see us at House of X at Trade. I'll be DJing. We've got performances by Dax exclamation point and Amanda Martini. And speaking of that, we have a creator crush with them. Adam and Ryan spoke to them both. phenomenal, phenomenal interview. They won't shut the fuck up, and we don't want them to. We've also got an extra
neither
issue.
Neither will we.
We've also got an extra issue of the Ultimate Universe, just, you know, to get ready for Ultimate X-Men, which we just talked about. And, of course, find us on Twitter at Homo Superior X and at Instagram, Homo Superior Podcast. Don't forget to rate and review us. We love you.
Bye. Bye.